So friends, when I was a little boy, and it just happens that my mother showed up today here in the second row. She didn't even tell me she was coming until she texted me at 10:45 here at Mass. So anyway, I didn't know that she'd be here when I tell this story. It's a good story about her. So when I was a little boy and my parents would go out for an event or on a date, we would have a babysitter, and it was the three of us before we adopted the twin boys. And I have this vivid memory of my mom and dad calling the babysitter whenever they were leaving the event. And the babysitter would tell us, and so we had a kind of estimated ETA right on their arrival. And I know where you're thinking this is going to go, but it's not going there. We actually got really excited. This is when we really liked our parents. We got really excited for their arrival home. Maybe, looking back, maybe the babysitter was kind of rough, but we really looked forward to them coming home, and in our little minds, we would try to sort of calculate. If they said it was 30 minutes or whatever, we would you know, be like, oh, we have 20 minutes to play, and then we're going to start waiting. But then at a certain point, we would go to the front window, right, this front window in our living room, and from that window, you can see the street, and you can see north about a quarter mile, and we would just wait there until our parents got home. And that's, I shared this image a few weeks ago with my students. That's how I think of all of Advent, is that experience. It's just, in the words of the gospel today, they were longing with expectation for the coming of the Messiah. I imagine all of Advent just sitting at that window waiting for my parents to come home. And to use the metaphor a little further this week, on Gaudete Sunday. So Gaudete Sunday is the third Sunday of Advent. We wear the pink or the rose vestments with the pink or the rose flowers. It's basically like a little intermission in the middle of Advent to say we're almost there. And to use that metaphor, there's a moment out of our front window when you can see a car turn the bend about a quarter mile up. And as soon as we saw lights turn that corner, right, we knew they were like a minute away. Now, sometimes we'd get it wrong. It'd be the wrong car, and we'd be jumping up and down, but it wasn't their car, right? But to me, that is my image for Gaudete Sunday. When I see my parents turn that corner, it's like they're about a minute or two away. We're about 10 days out from Christmas. That's what Gaudete Sunday is. And to be honest, I think we struggle a little bit with it today because Advent does not have the same, what it was in the early church, right? So in Advent was much more similar to Lent in the early church. In fact, they called it St. Martin's Lent because it would usually start on St. Martin of Tours feast day on November 11th. So it was much longer. It was like the Lenten season. And it did have much more of a sense of fasting, of penance, of abstinence. And so Gaudete Sunday and Laetare Sunday in the fourth Sunday of Lent were truly like these little respites, these little springs in the midst of a series of penance, of a season of penance, of like, okay, take a break for a day. It's like an intermission. Take a break from your fasting and celebrate because the events that we're all preparing for are about to come. Right? That's what Gaudete Sunday was. It's a sort of a celebratory interlude in the midst of Advent as we await the full reality of Christmas. So I wanted to, again, use this homily to invite us to embrace this season as preparatory and not just as completely consumed by the season of Christmas. Right? So a few weeks ago in our OCIA class, right, the class for people becoming Catholic, I was presenting on the history of Advent and this idea that it used to be more intentional in terms of purification and so on. And so one of the students who's becoming Catholic raised their hand and they said, well then, like, what would you recommend doing during Advent? Like, in Lent, we talk about prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Like, what would you recommend doing in Advent to use it as a season of preparation and purification? And so, I don't know what I said in the moment. Probably nothing good. But as I thought about it, here's what I wish I would have said. And I want to frame it around the idea of the three comings of Christ. Right? So in Advent, we talk about remembering his first coming in Bethlehem, looking forward to his second coming at the end of time, and then living in the middle coming, which is his daily desire to be present to us and to encounter us. So just one little nugget of advice for using Advent as a spiritual preparatory period for the season of Christmas. So his first coming. I think a spirituality of Advent would really strive to cultivate a spirit of humility. There's not a sense I get stronger about the Christmas story than the sense that I am way too prideful. Like, the Christmas story just yells at you, be humble. Here we have the God of the universe assuming a human nature and taking the form of the most helpless among us, right? A baby who can't do anything for themselves. And he takes that form, right? As I mentioned last week, he comes under the radar in a small place without the pomp and circumstance of what a king should come into the world as. Everything about the Christmas story just yells at you to be humble and to be willing to be regarded as less than you are, to not inflate or exaggerate your importance, to be willing to self-empty for others even when you don't think that they deserve it. Right? And so a real spirituality of Advent to prepare for Christmas would strive for ways to seek humility, right? To seek to take the lowest place, to restrain yourself from saying things that inflate or exaggerate your importance, right? Would seek to self-empty and give yourself to people during the Advent season that you think maybe don't even deserve your love. Right? That is, to me, the first coming of Christ invites a spirituality of Advent focused on humility. The second coming of Christ, I would say, invites a spirituality of confrontation with the judgment of Christ. Right? The second coming is Christ coming back as judge. Now, the truth is, most of us, at least every Christian that's lived from the first Bethlehem to now, has met Christ as a judge at their own death, not at the end of the world. And so we can assume, probably, that that will be our lot as well. And so I want to encourage a healthy Advent spirituality of reflecting on that judgment. Paul says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't know if you think much about that encounter. I tend to think more about it. I don't think about it unhealthily. Like, it paralyzes me in fear or anything. But I think about it, like, what am I going to say to the Lord when I'm standing before him without excuses, without rationalizations, without my justifications and the loopholes that I want? What am I going to say to the one who can pierce my heart and the one who can see through all my BS? What am I going to say when he stares into my soul, right? And so I think a healthy self-reflection, again, not one that causes us to be paralyzed in fear, right? There can be an unhealthy fear of judgment that can result in living not out of striving for love, but out of fear of punishment and so on. There can be an unhealthy sense of that. But I don't think the New Testament, the Gospels, and the writings of Paul and others allow us to escape the fact that we are going to meet our Maker and our Judge. And to really ponder, is there things in my life that I don't want to have to explain on that day? Right? So this, of course, is one of the reasons that Advent and Lent are a good opportunity for the sacrament of reconciliation. Right? To clear the slate, to be accountable for our sins. Because if we're accountable now, there'll be no surprises on our judgment day. That's a line that I always was really impacted by a theologian that I read. He's like, if a Christian does a true examination of their conscience every day that's genuine and sincere, right, there will be no surprises when they meet Jesus the Judge. And that's something I think that we can all strive for. So a spirituality of Advent would also confront the second coming, would also confront if I met Jesus today as judge, how would that encounter go? Finally, the middle coming. And there would be a lot to focus on here, but I just want to use the term the day today, Gaudete, rejoice. What does it mean to encounter Christ today? Right? And I just want to emphasize on this day of rejoicing that there's just a huge difference between emotional joy and spiritual joy. Right? To bring this out, I like to often say to people that Jesus was joyful on the cross. Now, clearly, he wasn't joyful in the sense of emotional joy or bodily joy, right? But one can have a deep interior peace and contentment in the midst of great suffering. That's spiritual joy. That's the joy that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? That's joy that is able to be maintained no matter what is going on in one's life. That's the kind of joy that Paul commands today. Because if you know anything about Paul's life, Paul went through it. The guy was shipwrecked all over the place. He was beaten. Right? He was imprisoned. I mean, the guy went through it. More physical suffering than most of us can imagine. And Paul's commands in the second reading today, you must rejoice. He clearly doesn't mean you must be always filled with emotional highs. You must always be feeling good. Your life must always be absent of sufferings. He clearly can't mean that. Right? He's commanding us to cultivate a deep spirit of interior contentment and peace that is not oblivious to the world around us, but is able to say that in God's hands, I'm okay. A true trust and sense of divine providence that's like, you know what, no matter what happens to me, I'm okay because I'm in the hands of God. That person, I don't know if you've ever met somebody like this, I hope you have, that is so joyful even though their life is sometimes a complete disaster. Like things are falling apart around them or they've been dealt just a horrible deck of cards in life and they're just the most joyful person in the world. It's often the realization that many of our college students come to when they develop third world countries, is these people in absolute poverty are the happiest people they've ever met, right? And so that can be cultivated, spiritual joy, right? And so to find Christ in the present moment, among many things, means to develop and cultivate a sense of deep interior peace and joy in spite of what's going on around us, in spite of how we're treated, in spite of the dysfunction of our family, in spite of the chaos of the world, right? And again, it does not mean being oblivious to those things, but it does mean that, you know what? I can still be joyful because I'm in the hands of one who loves me, who created me, and continues to pour himself into me daily. Right? I think we need that going into Christmas because Christmas is a very difficult time for many people, right? For those who have lost loved ones, first year and beyond. For those whose families are dysfunctional, like all of our families, right? Not mine, right, Mom? Not ours. we need, who's caught up in the consumerism of buying all these things, we need the sense that we can be at peace, right? Paul says, have no anxiety at all in the second reading. That's a challenge for us, right? But it's possible with the grace of Christ to grow in this sense of spiritual joy. Not that suffering will be gone, not that we won't have struggles, but we can have a firm sense of trust and faith in the Lord who loves us more than we even love ourselves. So, I'm just throwing darts at a spirituality of Advent, a spirituality that tries to grow in humility before the great event of God's emptying of himself at Christmas, a spirituality that takes seriously our meeting of Christ at the end of our life and being prepared for that encounter, and a spirituality that seeks to find spiritual joy even in the midst of times when we don't experience emotional joy. So I hope that image of me driving or waiting for my parents, we can live that the next 10 weeks. Let's long with expectation for the coming of Christmas. Gaudete gives us, my parents have just turned the corner. They're just about home, right? We're just about there. But let's still continue to prepare for this special day, which is just around the bend.